Romans chapter 6. And if I would title the message today, I would title it, The Old Man Crucified. I've been preaching through the book of Romans, or I started some time ago and took a break since Ken was back. And I just wanted to continue there where I left off last time. And last time I looked at the new life in Christ, and today I want to look at a little bit more specific at the old man crucified. But as I was studying this, I just saw that you can't really separate one from the other. You can't separate the new life from the old man crucified, because those two things really go entirely together. And yet I want to look at that aspect a little bit more today of the old man crucified, and what does the Bible say about that, and what does it mean. Let's read Romans 6 from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. All right, let's stop right there. So if we look at this passage, it speaks of death. Again and again and again. But it speaks of death and life. Now, if we go back to the Old Testament, it's all the way back to Adam and Eve. God told them in Genesis 2 that they should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2 verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And I want to look at death a little bit today. So this started in Genesis, where God told Adam and Eve that if you eat of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Now, we know that Satan came in the form of a serpent and tempted them to eat of the fruit. And they took. And then they just fell down dead, right? No, it's not what happened. They took, they ate of the tree, and all of a sudden they became wise. But the problem is, it was worldly wise. It was not godly wisdom. They had godly wisdom, but all of a sudden they had this worldly system that came into them because they sinned, and they were corrupted. Flesh, all flesh was corrupted. This world as we know it was corrupted because they sinned. God said the soul that sins, it shall die in Ezekiel. So first He said, If you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Now, later in the Old Testament, he said, the soul that sins, it shall die. And what he said with that, he said the father should not be responsible for the children, and the children should not be responsible for the father or for the parents. But that the person who has done wrong is the one who is responsible before God. That is the person who is to die. The person who has sinned. But Christ came and died. And what does that mean? That He came and died. If we look at the first few verses here in Romans 6, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So there were some who were saying to Paul that, what are you talking about? If God has saved us by His grace, then what does it matter if we sin? If God's grace abounds, if God's grace is so much more than our sin, then what does it matter? The more we sin, the more God's grace abounds, right? But Paul said, no, you're getting it wrong. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin? You see that? How shall we that are dead to sin? Now, there are two different ways that dead is being used in the scriptures. Or that it is brought out. Because one is dead to sin, and one is dead in sin. If we look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, to the believer, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is the death that God was telling Adam and Eve about. The day that you eat of this tree that I have told you not to eat of, you shall surely die. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened, hath He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, in order for that state of death that we are naturally in to be reversed, Christ had to die. And that is what is being shown to us here in this scripture in Romans chapter 6. Verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Baptism in the scripture again. There is a baptism that is outward, that we go and are dipped in the water. That is a biblical baptism. But that is together, or that signifies a spiritual baptism. A spiritual baptism happens to everyone who is born again. Jeremiah said, in the New Covenant, because that was still in the Old Testament, when they were living in the Old Covenant, Jeremiah said, in the New Covenant, and he's speaking as if God is saying it, or God is saying it, and he says, I will take out your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And that is what regeneration is. That is what it is to be born again. That is what it is to be transferred from being dead in sin to being dead to sin. That is, all these different parts of the scripture are talking about the same thing. So it's talking about we are baptized into Christ's death. But what does that have to do with baptism? Christ died and was buried. Christ didn't die and was thrown in the lake. No, he died and he was buried in a tomb. And then he rose again. But to be baptized into Christ Jesus Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? It is speaking of the baptism, the spiritual aspect of it, where we are baptized with Christ into His death, which it is talking about here as having died to sin, as it says in verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That is what happens in regeneration. That is what happens when we are born again, that we die to sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What we find here is it says, not only that we might, or it might be possible for us to walk in newness of life, but that we should. That is a, I think, as it brings it out, it is a requirement, it is a fruit that we should walk in newness of life. Just as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and all things have become new. The same way, if we are baptized into Jesus Christ, we're buried with Him by baptism into death. We cannot have just one and not the other. There is, in some places, this idea that we give our lives to Christ, we get baptized, but then after some time, and they would even go as far to say that we're baptized and we're born again, but then in life we fall away and we just live for ourselves and for the devil. But that doesn't work. You cannot die to sin and then be made alive to sin again. Because that means God would have to reverse everything He did. Where He called you, where He drew you first of all, and then He called you and He made you willing. The way the scripture says that God does. He takes out the heart of stone and He gives a heart of flesh. See, if you die to sin and you're made alive in Christ, then God would have to say, okay, I'm gonna reverse all that. I'm gonna make sin alive in your body again, that sin will control you. I'm gonna reverse the heart of stone and the heart of flesh. I'm gonna take back out your heart of flesh and give you back your heart of stone. But God doesn't do that. God is faithful. What God says He will do, He does it. He doesn't give up along the way either. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. For, see the if here. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. If we have been planted together, which earlier is talking about being dead to sin, being buried with Him by baptism into death, and for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. The Bible says that the seed that grows first has to be cast into the ground and has to die in order that it can grow and bring forth fruit. The seed is not alive when you throw it into the ground and then it starts to give life. It first has to die and then it can give new life. The same way here. We have been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. This is a if and. This is not a one or the, this is not that only one could happen or only the other. Oh yeah, we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. But we don't have a new life. That is not possible. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So, this is, we could say, two sides of the same coin. If you die together with Christ, you will be raised a new life together with Christ. And then, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. If we look in other scriptures, Colossians 2 verse 12 also says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. Colossians 2:12. Just as we are buried with Him in baptism, it says ye also are risen with Him. There is no such thing as dying with Christ and then staying in the grave. Because Christ did not stay in the grave. See, if we look at Adam and Eve and the command that God gave to them, the day you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. That was a separation from God. That was a cutting off. That was spiritual death. Before that, they walked in the cool of the day in the garden and they talked with God, and all of a sudden that fellowship was cut off. They died spiritually. The only way for that to be restored was through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. Christ is the first one who was raised a new body. And the same way, Adam and Eve, the only way for them or any of their future generations to be taken out of that curse of death was that someone would remove that curse and would pay the penalty that needed to be paid. So Colossians 2:12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. We need to see that dying together with Christ, being buried together with Christ, is an operation of God just as much as being raised with Christ. We are dead in sin if we don't have Christ. We are dead in sin if we don't have Christ. The only way for that to be removed, that we are alive in Christ and dead to sin, is for Him to regenerate us. And then we see some scriptures where it talks about us putting off the old man. If we read here in Romans 6, verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, it doesn't say, check if your old man is crucified. It doesn't say, Christian, you need to check if your old man is crucified. It's not what it is saying. And it makes a difference for us to see how Paul says this. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Are you a believer? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you born again? Well, then this is saying to you, knowing this, you can know for certain. If you are a Christian, you can know for certain that your old man is crucified. But then what does that mean? Does it mean, okay, we don't have no more sin now with us? Because that means our old man has died. Well, this also goes along with what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. That is because if you're born again, you have died to sin. You are raised to a new creature in Christ. So you are not your old person anymore, and your old person has no control over your life anymore. You have died to sin. Your old man is crucified. You are raised to a new life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. This is speaking in a certain way, not in a questioning way. Not telling you to question whether your old man is crucified. And the reason why I'm emphasizing this today is because there are many teachings out there that want to make you doubt if you are your old person or your new person. What I mean is, they want to just tell you to be a good person and try to live right and try to help others and try to be a good person, and by that you will know that you are not an old person anymore. You're not an old man anymore. But that is not how the Bible puts it. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Our old man is crucified. It's not even something that we can do, because that comes, and what I want to say with that is, not that God is not telling us what to do. God is. God is telling us to believe on Christ. God is telling us to repent and believe the gospel. But the operation of God, we cannot do on our own. We cannot crucify our old man, though the Bible does tell us to crucify the flesh, but we will see right now a little bit more what that is talking about. But if we are in Christ, the old man is crucified. We are no longer our old man. We are a new creature in Christ. God has regenerated us and made us a new creature. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. And then it says, verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And this is, some would read this and take it to mean that, well, we can be perfect and not have anything to do with sin. I've heard some people say that they have never sinned after they became a Christian. Most would say that, yeah, they had sinned a couple times in the beginning of their Christian life, and then some would say they haven't sinned for many years. Well, I hate to break it to you, but there is no such thing as a sinless person. Your mind, your flesh that is still with you, still has sin. See, the old man is crucified. But the Bible makes a distinction between the old man. First, it makes a distinction between the old man that has been crucified and the new man. But then it talks about the flesh, that the flesh is still with us, still with the new man. But the old man is not there anymore. That, I think, is key to understand what Paul is talking about. That he's not talking about sinless perfectionism where you can walk through life without sinning. Else, why would there be sanctification? Why in Hebrews 12 does God tell us in His Word that He disciplines all those whom He loves? If we had become perfect, there would not be any need for discipline. If we, in our mind, in our thoughts, in our actions, had become perfect, there would be no need for discipline. God disciplines those whom He loves, it says in Hebrews chapter 12. And that is because we are, as it says in Romans 8, we are predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, to the image of Jesus Christ. We are predestined. If we are believers, if we are the elect, we are predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. So these things all go together. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We are no longer controlled by sin. We are no longer chained to our slave sin, our sin slave master. We are no longer chained if we have been born again. We have been freed from sin. We have been freed from that chain. Now I know there are some people who can, in this life, have been drinking, fornicating, committing adultery, and then they can quit doing some of that stuff. And they still don't trust in God. There are some who just realize some of it, that it's not good and that it's not doing them good. They have problems in their work because they have a problem with drinking or other things like that, and they decide to stop, and Satan removes the temptation and lets them stop only to keep them deceived. See, the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. Satan wants to make you believe that you're a Christian because you have become a little bit better in your own eyes. In my past life, before I was a Christian, I thought that I'm pretty good because I go to church, I do the things of my church, and I try to be a good person. I try to be an encouragement to others. But I didn't think about my mind, how I was full of sin on the inside. After God saved me, He began to show me the things that needed cleansing. My mind was full of filth that needed cleansing, and He began to clean me. Because that's what He does. God disciplines those whom He loves. He disciplines them to make them become more like Christ, not to leave them where they were at. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6 verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. This is telling us about Christ, and it is putting us together with Christ, having died with Him, being buried with Him, and then being raised together with Him. So it says, Christ, having died, and then being raised to die no more. See, it is giving us, it is showing us what happened when Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again. His new body can no more die. His new body can no more have pain or suffering or temptations that it would feel tempted to sin. The old body was tempted to sin, but yet Christ overcame. Because He was God and man, He never sinned, even though He was tempted in all points like as we are. But He was tempted when He had a body like ours. The Bible says that He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans 8 verse 3. Romans 8 verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God sent Jesus Christ to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not being sinful, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, in order that He could be tempted and walk through this life and overcome all the temptations without sin, so that He could be our sin bearer, so that Christ could die on the cross, taking up our sins on Himself, and that it would be effectual, that His sacrifice would be acceptable to God for our sin and for our redemption. That is what Christ did. Or Hebrews 2 verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Christ, coming in the likeness of sinful flesh, Christ, just as we are partakers of flesh and blood, He became also a partaker of flesh and blood. It says in Hebrews 2:14, "He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." So what the Bible says is that Christ came like us. He was like us in this earth, in that Him dying, being God and man, at Him dying without sin, without ever having sin, He could destroy the power of death. So that when our old man dies, that power of death is also destroyed. As it says in Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power." See, there is an effectual work of Christ that was done. When He died, He destroyed the power of death. He destroyed the power of death so that if we have died to sin and have been raised with Christ, death also has no more power over us. And this is speaking of a spiritual death. He was raised to die no more. And yet, when our old man has died and our new man has come to life through Christ, being raised with Christ, we cannot die to come back to our old man again. That death has been destroyed. That power over death has been destroyed. And when we die, our bodies, because as I said, we are a new man in Christ, but we have the flesh still with us. So when our flesh that is with us dies and is put in the ground, our new man will go to be with Christ, and then God will raise us a new body. A new body, not the same old body, not the same flesh, which is death in itself, but our old man has died. We are a new man if we are in Christ, though this flesh is still with us. But it is speaking of the spiritual reality of the soul. First of all, it is an old man. First of all, it is a sinful man that is in power, in control of sin. It is like being a slave, as the Bible also calls it, a slave to sin. You know, we have history of the slave masters chaining their slaves together and forcing them to work, forcing them to toil for them on the fields without really any reward, just getting enough food to use them as machines. You know, that is what Satan does to us if we are not born again. But the Bible also says that there is pleasures in sin for a little season. So you might think that, well, the devil just wants to destroy us, so he won't give us any pleasure. And then people get a wrong view about Satan because they think this. Some think this. When I have taught this before that Satan, when I have taught this before that Satan is sometimes okay with us not doing a certain sin because he wants to keep us deceived, and people have told me that can't be because Satan just wants to destroy us. Yes, Satan just wants to destroy us, but if he can even let us have a decent life on this earth and keep us deceived, then that is all that he wants to do. He is okay with that. He is okay with us not being enslaved to every sin so that he can keep us deceived. But enslaved we are if we don't have Christ. We are enslaved if we don't have Christ. So what I want to look at a little bit yet before we end this is that Ephesians 4 verse 22 and Colossians 3. But anyway, let's look at Ephesians 4 verse 22. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what is Paul saying here in Ephesians when he says that you're supposed to put off the old man? He's talking to the believers and telling them to put off the old man. Well, here's the thing. I think when he is in this place talking about the old man, he is talking about the flesh that is still with us and us realizing the powers that our flesh still have. Because if we look in Romans 7, Paul is talking about this war between the flesh and the spirit. He is talking about how he is no longer the one that is doing the sin, but it is the flesh in him that is doing the sin. And the reason he can say that is because he is a new man. As long as you're the old man, you're not in Christ, you're just doing what your nature is, sin. But when you're a new man, even your mind wants to do what is right. Paul says in Romans 7, because you are a new man. But when you're tempted and your flesh wants to sin and you have fallen for sin, he says, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So that is why we need to have a right view and a right understanding of the sin that is still dwelling in us. Even as a new man, even as no longer being the old man, which is crucified and dead, we're no longer a slave to the slave master who has before chained us. But we are now a slave to Christ. We are a servant to righteousness, no longer a servant to sin. Or Colossians 3 verse 9, lie not one to another, do not lie, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So in this place, Paul is encouraging the believers and telling them, do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man, realizing you have put off the old man, you have seen what is sin, and you have put it away. So then he's encouraging them to do right and not to do wrong. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Here in Galatians 2, Paul is talking about the old man and the new man. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, I live. I am crucified with Christ, the old man. Nevertheless, I live, the new man. And then he says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is the key. He says, it is not that I have found something good, how I can be a good person now, and that I am a new man by myself. But he says, no, I'm a new man because Christ is in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, the new man, yet not I, but Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life which I now live in the flesh, he's saying the life which I now live in this body that I still have, I live by faith, by the faith of the Son of God. That is the only way how a new life can be lived is by faith of the Son of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everything that is not from faith is sin. But if you have faith in Christ, as he says here, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This all goes together. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ, he says, Christ, he has died in my stead. The new life that I have is because Christ is living in me. But my old man has died. And I think it is good for us to think about and realize that our old man has died if we're a believer. The flesh that is with us is what wants us to sin, even though we are a new creature in Christ. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. See, there is something inherent to being in Christ that you have crucified lusts of the flesh. It is not... See, the old man is crucified. You are a new creature if you're a Christian, but you have the flesh. But it's saying if you are in Christ, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So, there is a thing that if you come to Christ, you come in surrender. There's so many big gatherings in the church where they just tell everyone to pray a prayer and then tell them, you're born again. If you mend it from your heart, you're born again. Well, God says in His Word that if you are born again, you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. There is something that has been crucified in you when you have become a Christian. Yes, your old man has been crucified, you still have the flesh, but there is something about your flesh that is still with you that has already been crucified. About 9 years ago when I was born again, it was as if God was just showing me some sins that were a part of my life, and I can't even explain, but I had a sorrow over my sin like never before. I had never had it before. And I said, Lord, I give it up. Lord, I don't know how, but I give it up. That is a part of the Christian life. There's something that you have to be willing to give up. Some of your sin that is with you that you have to be willing to give up. If you truly come to Christ. Because it is God that works in us. It is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Or 1 Peter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, I think this is more talking about sanctification. When we are disciplined by God, we become willing to give up our sin. We become willing to say that, we want to give up our sin and trust in Christ. And then back to Romans 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. This is talking about some that happened to you if you are a Christian. This is something that happened to you when you became a Christian. Being then made free from sin. This is talking about a freedom that we have to do what is right, and a freedom that we have to say no to sin, because God tells us that every time that we are tempted, He makes a way for us to escape that temptation. To escape and turn away from that temptation and not to fall into it. I'm not saying that it's possible that with our flesh together we can become good enough that we never sin anymore. It's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that God says, being then made free from sin. You know the picture that I gave you? Slave master having chained his slaves and forcing him to do what he wants him to do? Well, that is Satan doing to his people what he wants them to do. It's not saying that he's going to give you a miserable life here. No. But it's saying he's going to keep you deceived. He's going to keep you thinking that you're okay when you're not. He's going to keep you thinking that your sin is okay when it's not. And this is what Christ came to reverse. And this is the curse that Christ came to break. Being enslaved to sin. That he says, nope, I'm cutting off those chains. You are no longer enslaved to the devil. You are no longer a child of the devil. But you're now a child of God. You are now a new creature. You now have Christ in you. And you have the ability to resist temptation and to follow Christ and to do what is right. So being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And I want to just briefly recap these verses here in Romans 6 that we see. It is speaking of being dead to sin. Remember, Ephesians says, you were by nature the children of wrath. You were by nature dead in trespasses and sin. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Well, now he is talking about us being dead to sin because our old man has been crucified. We are baptized into Christ's death. We are buried with Him, verse 4. We are planted together in the likeness of His death, verse 5. Verse 6, our old man is crucified with Him. And then, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 8, it says, now if we be dead with Christ. Verse 9, Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. See, there is a death that if you have been freed from this death and you've been made alive, you can no longer die to that death anymore and be in that death any longer. Verse 10, it says about Christ, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So Christ died unto sin. He did not die in sin, he died unto sin to free us from the bondage of sin, from the slavery to sin. And then it says, verse 11, reckon ye yourselves to be dead. Realize and see that you are dead to sin. That you are no longer enslaved by sin if you have Christ. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Let not sin reign. Seeing that you have died to sin, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Now it is talking about the fruit in our lives. If we are a believer, we will have fruit that is unto obedience. But if we yield to Satan, to obey him, to follow him, that leads to death. That just shows that we have not been born again and we have not been made a new creature. Verse 18, being made free from sin. Verse 22 also, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then let me remind you again of the verse in Revelation 20, verse 6, that says, blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection. So, you only have a part in the first resurrection if you have died to sin and you have been made a new creature in Christ. And if you are, you have a part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Christ raised to die no more. The second death has no power over those who have been raised with Christ to die no more. The second death is, Revelation 20 and 21 tells us, the second death is a lake of fire, eternal torment forever and ever, which is the second death. But if you have been raised with Christ to new life, the second death has nothing more to say over your life. It cannot touch you. It cannot affect you. There is a very dangerous teaching that tells us, that says that you're going to die and go to hell for a little while to pay for your sins, and then you go to heaven. But that is a dangerous teaching. That is like saying there is a mini death for you after you die, and then you will have eternal life. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, Romans 8 verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. It means there is nothing left to be paid for. Christ has paid it all. He has paid it all. There is nothing more left. You gotta believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You gotta trust in Him. And not in yourself. Come to Him. Believe on Him. Trust in Him. Just like Christ was raised from the dead to die no more, if you will be raised from the dead by believing in Christ, by God's regenerating work in your life and you believing in Christ, you also will be raised to die no more. We have God's promise for that. To die no more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the truth that is in your word, that all of your word is truth. We thank you, God, for new life that you have already given to some of your children, for those who you have already called. We know, God, that as it says in Revelation, when the last martyr dies and the last soul is saved, then you will return. So Lord, we believe there are still more that need to be saved, that need to hear the gospel. And Lord, by your grace, receive the knowledge of the truth and the love of the truth. We pray, God, that even this message today would work towards that end, Lord, to bring people to that place where they will believe the gospel. And we pray, Lord, for any that are here who are your lost sheep, Lord, if there are any, that you would call them out by your word. Give them the grace and the ability to trust in you. We just thank you for this time of fellowship, this time of hearing from your word, and we pray you will bless it to us. You will be with us today and through this week. You will provide for all our needs. Lord, you would answer questions. You would meet our needs. Lord, that we could be useful vessels in your kingdom. We thank you. We ask all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.